if it's a woman rather than a man, because I've both my briefs are written for women. Okay, now, everybody else in the group is going to collectively be a streetlight volunteer. What this means is, what I want you to do is start the role play off by one of the streetlight volunteers in the group saying, "Hello, my name is," whatever your name is, and as your way of getting the conversation going. And then each time your worker, I shall use that, or your lady, not quite sure what word to use for this. Each time your lady responses, then you move round the group and it's the next person in the group is the volunteer. And keep the role play going round like that for as long as you can, thinking about what you're trying to achieve with this. You tell me, what are you trying to achieve when you go up to and approach somebody? You're trying to get to know them. You're trying to build a relationship with them, a relationship of trust that you hope will be strong enough to encourage that person then to have further contact with you in due time. So keep that in mind. But as I say, you can share this with the other people. So collectively, everybody else in the group is a streetlight volunteer. And if you get really stuck, you can put up your hand and say, time out, and confer with your friends, as it were, and say, I don't know what to say to this next. What do you suggest? And then start the role play going again. We have two versions. So if you run out of steam on one, it's possible to have another one using a different person. It's just gone 8 o'clock by my watch. I'm going to give you about 7 minutes to try this and see how far you get. And my colleagues and I will just drift round, help you, encourage you. Okay, off you go. Okay, folks, if you'd like to step back out of your roles, if you were the worker, round of applause for everybody. Now, let's take a bit of time and just reflect on that. How easy was it to talk to somebody? Not easy, because you don't want to say the wrong thing. What else? What else did people feel? Yeah, you have to be really careful, because you are in the position of going up to somebody who isn't expecting to have a conversation with you. You start asking questions. How are they likely to respond? They may even be rude to you, and we'll pick that up a bit later under the heading of expectations. But you're starting on the back foot. We've got some experience of this, because whilst what you probably know about Samaritans is people ring us, we do actually go out and do what we call emotional support outside branches, where we walk up to people and try and start a conversation going. And believe me, it's really hard. And it can be really hard, just people in the park. Not far, you know, when you think about the people that you are wanting to approach, they're going to be very uncertain. What about some of the listening? Did you find yourself able to practice some of those things that Sue introduced to you to? Can anybody give me any examples where an open question was asked, or reflecting, or any of those things on the listening wheel? You had one over here.
I can't remember what it was now, but I think it was something about asking her about her family or what would make her happy, because she said she didn't know what it was. So I said, what would make you happy?
That's a good, nice question, isn't it? What would make you happy? It's an open question. It's getting people into the area of what are their issues, what are their problems with the life they're leading, which then may give you the opportunity to talk about what you may be able to offer. But this sort of relationship is not going to be built just in 5 minutes or so. It's going to take time. Any other reflections from people on how easy or difficult it was, or just any thoughts that occurred to them as you did the exercise? I think that's an important point, because you've got to have an opening line. I suggested volunteering your name, because that's, if you like, building a relationship. But each person needs to think, what's going to work for me? So as you go forward, think about that, perhaps in your team days. Talk about, maybe you'll have a range of possible opening lines that people can feel, practice and feel comfortable with. And it may be that you're right. If you're approaching somebody face to face, you may see something, or you can talk about the weather. If in doubt in the UK, talk about the weather. On a night like this, as the temperature's dropping, it's always a starting point. So, right, I'm looking at my watch and I'm thinking, there is time to do this, do another round of this perhaps, or we can move straight on and look at barriers to listening. What would you rather do? You want to move in? Oh. What a surprise. Yes. Yes.
Exercise that we've just done. I felt that our conversation was getting a bit, stunted. At what point would you, I was going to be the next volunteer speaker, I was going to suggest that they then came to our drop-in, or that we pursued the conversation another time. Would you, that on the trust level, you know, she was showing a certain degree of mistrust. And not to make that first conversation, my feeling was, are we trying to make this first conversation too long? Having made contact, should we then say, well, we are to be trusted. Can we meet you again, or would you like to come so-and-so?
It's a nice question, and it leads us into the next session. But also, I'll just make the point about role plays. In role plays, we cram everything in. I won't insult your intelligence by pretending like that they are anything like real. They're not. We do it the same in Samaritan's training. And the sort of thing that I will try and get you to cover in a 5-minute role play may well be the sorts of things that you would cover in 2 to 3 different contacts. So, but role play is a good device for getting points across. So, but you have nicely led us into barriers to listening. Now, You, of course, you know about barriers to listening. We all do it. I heard something on the radio the other day, which was something around husbands are very good at being talked at. It helps them concentrate on their paper better, which is something around we all tune out. Have you done it? I bet you've done it. You're listening to somebody, even your best friend on the phone. I'm afraid I do it to my sister. My sister lives a long, long way, but we phone each other once a week. And I'll suddenly realise she's been talking for 10 minutes and I can't remember what she's told me. And she asks me a question. She says, "What do you think, Christine?" And I think, "Ah! What did she say?" So what I want you to do, we're fond of pictures in Samaritans. I would like you to join up with another table. I'm going to give you each a page of flip chart and some pens. And I want you to draw a picture of the things that stop you listening. And just to give you a bit of a head start, if you think about it in two ways, there are the external things that stop you listening to someone, but there are also the internal things. The things that go on inside you or that are about you that stop you listening. So, very quickly, I think if we have three groups, that will conserve your flip chart paper and make my pens go the distance. And each group has to produce in the next 7 minutes a picture that illustrates barriers to listening. Don't worry about artistic interpretation. You're not going to get marks for that. You can interpret picture any way you like. You can make it a cartoon. You can write words and just arrange them artistically or whatever way you want to interpret it. But when you've finished, we'll display them on the front. Okay, folks, how finished is your picture? If you'd like to put the finishing touches to your pictures and then perhaps bring them up, there's a very convenient sofa here that I think would take most of them. So bring them up and display them for everybody to have a look at. There are some beauties here. Come on, everybody, come up and gather round. All right. Oops. Somebody ready to play Anthea Redfern? Okay, so what can you see in there? I'm not going to ask each group to explain it, but what are the different things that you can see on those pictures? Access, yeah. And we have parallels, you know, we have what we call our hard to reach groups. There's lots of really good stuff in there. And whatever you're doing, in whatever context, even if you're just having a conversation with a relative that you care about, things can get in the way. So I can see somebody here, they're not feeling so well. So that stops them listening. I like this one. I see you through my worldview. I come along with a set of prejudices. No matter how much I may say, oh, I'm not prejudiced. Of course I am. Because that's framed by my experiences. There's the practical stuff, the noise, the kids around. I like this one, the smell. And the climate. Hard to really concentrate when you're standing there shivering. And then there's the stuff we bring along inside us. Our past experiences, our negative experiences, worries. Where's the to-do list? Yes. Just, you know, you come along and you're thinking, tomorrow I've got to organise for the washing machine to be fixed and all those things. And they go along in your head and they stop you listening. Anybody like to add to that? Aren't you all creative? So you can keep those as reminders. Right, let us move on from barriers to listening to thinking about expectations. Can I ask for a scribe? Someone willing to write on the flip chart? Lovely. I've got a handout on barriers to listening, which you can collect afterwards. But let's move on and think about expectations. You are going out and wanting to build relationships. This is what we said right at the beginning. And you want to build a relationship of trust. What are you expecting to find when you go out there? What sort of reactions do you think you might get? Who are you? So, suspicion. Or maybe just curiosity. Both. What other sort of responses might you get? Aggression. You may be told to go away in less polite terms. Fear. Because, as I understand it, the expectation is that you, when you're going out, not when people are coming in here to the drop-in centre, but when you're going out behind the police, is that right? Possibly. Yeah. So, the likelihood is that you'll be associated with authority in some sort of way. What other expectations might there be? Defensive. Anything else? Yeah, you may encounter distress. Yes. Especially if they've been trafficked. Yes, you may get people who are then hopeful. And that's a huge responsibility, isn't it? So that's something to think about. When somebody hangs all their hopes on you as an individual or as an organisation, that's actually a very heavy weight. What other things may come up? Yeah, indifference, shrug their shoulders, dismissive, mind your own business. What the has it got to do with you? Silence. What are they going to think about you? You are... Have you seen the bits, the stuff about first impressions? So you are going to approach someone face to face. What impressions are they going to form of you? What do you want? They're going to see you as different. What assumptions might they make about you? Yeah, so they may, the sorts of assumptions that might come along are that you've got a fairly cushy life, that you don't know what sort of problems they have, and you could never have had to manage those sorts of problems, that you're going to be judgmental. And by judgmental, it's not going to be, oh, this is a good life. The expectation is, the assumption will be that you may be condemnatory. And all of that's going to get in the way, isn't it, of you building a relationship with them. They may think that you want to proselytize to them, to convert them. Again, it's going to get in the way. Anything else you can think of? Yes, they may think that there's an ulterior motive, that you are another person who wants to exploit them in some sort of way. So, what I want you to do is, in your sort of table groups, reflect on these and talk between yourselves. There aren't necessarily absolutely right or wrong answers, but talk between yourselves about how you may feel when you experience these reactions and what you may do in order to overcome them and start to build that relationship. And I'll give you, it's only ever short times, but I'll give you up to 10 minutes to do this, because these are big questions, and then we'll take some feedback from you. Okay, folks, let's hear some of the your thoughts. And what I'm going to do with this one is I'm going to pass the mic around the tables. If you can't think of anything when the mic arrives at your table, don't worry, just pass it on. But just, you know, give some feedback of any ideas you had about how you may deal with some of this response, or any observation. I'll start at this table and say, if you're not ready, just pass it on and we'll let it go round a couple of times.
We felt smile would go a long way. A smile if somebody's suspicious, or, you know, you can just show by who you are, you know, hopefully that you can be trusted. I think one question we had, maybe Helen, you could answer more, is that, you know, if they say, well, what are you doing here? What do you want? You know, obviously to say, you know, we're just here to find out if you're okay, if there's anything we can do to help. Would we actually say we're part of a church group, or, okay, thanks?
Yeah, that's a good question. It came up on our table, and because in the other skit that we kind of did earlier, that was a question that was asked to me when I was being the sort of person. I was like, well, if you're a church, I don't want to know you, kind of thing. And that initial meeting, I think we need to, if you like, have some really clear expectations of what we want to achieve about communicating who we are. Personally, I don't think we should be saying that we are a church. That we should be saying who we are as Streetlight, as a project, having very clear objectives in that are that are simple, and that we don't try and communicate all of that on the first visit. So we talked a lot about how we look on that first visit, those first impressions, that we need to have something that really identifies who we are. Smile, again. And then that maybe the objective of the first meeting is simply to say hello and to say, we are this project that's in your community. We'll come back next week. It's really nice to meet you. To be clear about what we can offer and be really clear about what we can't offer as well, and not to create a false expectation. Yeah, I can say a lot more, but I don't want to give time to others. Do you want to?
Well, we just thought similar, need to have quite a bank of phrases that we're all saying together and being consistent and, you know, week after week, and also being consistent in what we say about Streetlight. Just consistency, we thought was important. Mm.
But also a quick comment on that, which I think is, sorry, because it's come up about the church thing, so just from a church perspective, what marks us out in this project is that we're all Christians, and so our motivation is our faith. We know that we're not out there to convert. That's not our primary goal, if you like, in the project, in terms of that initial meeting when we're going out, that we're saying, well, we're here to convert you, we're here to do all of that. So I think, but what I do want to emphasise is that motivation of the love of God in our lives, people can see if you're genuine, if your motivation is that you're out to get something from them, they can see that. Whereas that's not our motivation. So I think we can have some confidence in ourselves in that place too, that the motivation is the right motivation. But obviously we need to be careful in how we approach people so that their preconceived ideas don't shut the door in our face on the first visit. So I'll just thought that.
Thanks, Helena. That's useful.
Yeah, sure, to be consistent and stable, and most of all just to express that we genuinely care about them and their situation, and to, you know, at all opportunity to get across that we actually genuinely care, and it's not just a project.
We said something similar to what Helena was saying about even if trying not to pursue necessarily the first conversation too far, that you are going to be met with suspicion, all these things anyway. And I use the term just to sow the seed in the first time that you meet with people, so that even if they get, you know, turn their back on you, at least they'll know who Streetlight are, what we're about, and you know that may well be a front. I used to fly when I was still working, and a lot of people would express their fear of flying by being aggressive. And that might be that they're a bit fearful, but at least we've sown the seed. And in another voluntary thing that I do, I've come across a lot of people that you think you've lost them, but, you know, the seed is there, and it does come to fruition later on.
We felt being patient
And later on, we also felt we need to know our area and the things that we're offering, like the times, dates, places, because we felt there's a lot of things they won't write down. They may not want to take a card. They may not want something with an address, with a telephone number. So we need to know the Horsham area. We need to know how to say, as somebody says, buy dreams, turn left, whatever, so that... what we're offering, you know, we can give what we're offering. If we're offering mothers and toddlers, that's what we're offering to help, and things like that.
Yeah. Yeah, one of the other things was when it comes to when you approach someone is not to take it personally, because their approach is coming from... their place is from is a place of fear, suspicion, abuse, whatever it could be, and the first reaction would be, "Well, you're someone new, and I don't know you. You don't know me. I'll throw everything I can at you to test how genuine you are." So that would be it's how it's. You know, the easiest way to react to something like that is just continue smiling and just not to react in a likewise an aggressive manner, but just to let it wash all over you, so to speak, and just dispel it.
Just to follow on, really, because we're in it for the long haul, and so it's that perseverance. You know, so if they tell you to pee off or whatever, it's just like sort of coming back time after time, you know, so that they know that we really mean what we're saying, you know, that we really want to help. So it's just really perseverance.
Something that we thought was really helpful is that if we know that we're going to come across these type of situations, perhaps we know that somebody might be quite aggressive, or perhaps we know that somebody might turn around and say, "You haven't a clue what I'm going through, thank you very much," or whatever, is equipping ourselves with phrases to come out with at that point, because I know I struggle. If somebody said that to me, I'd probably go, what words come out of my mouth? But if we know that, without being a robot, if we know that we're going to come across these things, like almost having a little checklist in your mind without being a robot of saying, if I'm going to come across this, or perhaps I might like to say this, or whatever. I'm very practically minded.
And you've just demonstrated the value of role plays. That's why we make you do them. Okay. Who wants the mic now? Any more points to be made? Okay. Thank you very much. I knew that if I handed it over to the floor that you could make the points far better than I can. That brings us to the end of the sort of sections that we planned for you on active listening, on barriers and on expectations. I've got a little handout on expectations. It's not as comprehensive a list as up there, but some of the possible responses and the things you put down, you've brought up: be patient, be non-judgmental, be careful not to make promises you can't guarantee to keep, offer assurance about confidentiality, be aware of safety issues, yours as well as theirs, and know when to step back. So if you'd like to pass these around, or I'll ask my colleagues to pass these around. One of the things good trainers always do is get you to reflect on what you've covered during a training session and think about what's struck a chord for you, what's resonated for you, and how you're going to go away and use it. And we have some feedback sheets that have that question on them. So what I'm going to do is ask you to complete the feedback sheets. But before we totally finish, I will ask for some contributions from the floor on what struck a chord from you for you tonight that you think is going to be useful as you go forward with this project. So Sue and my colleagues will bring round the feedback sheets for you to complete and use the questions to reflect. So do skip the box ones first and go down to the second section. Okay, there's never enough time for anything, is there? What I'd like to do just before we finish is just hear very quickly from some of you as to what you think will stick with you from tonight. Any contributions from anywhere? Beryl's acting there. You've got a future on the stage, apparently, Beryl. Yeah, that's so important. The people that you're going to encounter are human beings. They've got the same capacity for feeling as you have. But they are in a very vulnerable situation. Other points? Yeah, really practice those listening skills, focusing to the exclusion of other things. Even try and tune out the cold if you can, or make sure you've got your thermals on. Other points? Yeah. The need to be prepared. Should we pass the mic round, actually? There. So the need to be prepared and be aware of the situation you're getting into and practice for it. Who else would like to make a point?
I found the listening wheel helpful, and you know, remembering to the open questions and to me, I mean, I didn't actually say anything in the role play, so I realised that it would be good actually to practice, you know, so that you are sort of prepared with sort of, you don't want a format of answers, but you're a little bit sort of, you know what I'm saying? I know we listen to God as well, but it's like, it's good to be practical. Yeah. I'm
waffling. Thank you very much. It's quite alarming, a microphone, isn't it?
Just a couple of things. Yeah, with the wheel, and when you said the power of silence, short words of encouragement, that was, you know, really good. And also the first role play we did, I mean, it showed us that actually, you know, in the panic and fear of suddenly doing it, that you forget everything that you learned half an hour earlier. But it shows that, you know, that we do need to do it. But also something that came up when we did our drawings and everything, I can't remember, one of them commented that actually there were more things internally that were creating barriers than the actual externals. And sometimes, you know, it's things in us, but the point that you just said about that they're just normal human beings, they have the same feelings and cares that you know, that actually breaks down the barriers within us when we realise that.
I think for me what stood out most today is working together as a team, because it just struck me that we are entering into a different territory a very unknown territory because we live different lives. But working together as a team tonight, talking to each other, was very comforting, knowing that if we work like that all the time, we're going to be very, very successful. We need to work as a team. It was very great.
That's a great point to make. We feel that in Samaritans. If I can plug us a bit, what did we win, Jill? We won. We
volunteer group of the year.
Your turn next year.
I think, really, as some people have already said, to highlight the need to practice these things, to really, really keep practicing so that they get right in us.
Anyone else? Okay, thank you very much. If I can say thank you for inviting us to do this, and I can say thank you to the other members of my team, or our team. Sue and I planned the training for you, but without Jill and Carrie, we couldn't have delivered it to you. So thank you to the three of them as well.
Yeah, I just want to express our real thanks to all of you for coming out tonight. It's been excellent as far as I'm concerned. It's been really, really excellent. And helped us just in this whole training program. We feel really sure that we're doing the right thing, but we're also absolutely determined not to move ahead until we are fully trained and just really prepared. We want to prepare the ground really well, and you've helped us so much tonight. So let's give a massive round of applause again. Thank you so, so much. And, you know, we really look forward to working with you in the future as well. So if I could just give, I think you want these forms back in. Do you? Are they for us? Or the response forms would be good to have back. Could I just give one other plug that I forgot to give earlier? And that is that Phil Pooley, who most of you know, he's a member of our staff here. He is running the Brighton Marathon. And he asked if he could run it for Streetlight. Okay, which sounds great, but hold on, there's another bit to it. In order to do that, you have to buy a charity place. Now, to buy a charity place, you can't just buy one. The charity places are £100, and you have to buy five as a charity. We can still do it. The deadline's not until the 31st. If there are any runners in the room, that or your husband, friend, partner, whatever, is a runner, and you think, I know someone who's into that, who would like to, they'd run for Streetlight. If we could get two or three people to do it, Phil reckons he could raise £500 himself. But obviously, we want to do it to raise money, so we don't want to invest that money without knowing that we could raise a lot more, okay? So please, please, please have a think about that. Talk to me tonight if you know somebody or you think, yeah, that's a possibility, or email into the admin office very, very soon. It's a marathon. It's a full marathon. Sorry? Yeah, we're working on Ian. But yeah, if that is something that is of interest, we could possibly, that would help with our fundraising, okay? Thank you again, everybody, for coming out. Please go to the table. Don't forget to put your names down. 2 weeks' time, come prepared, because it is getting colder. For those of you who are going out and who would like to go out, come prepared. Warm, maybe bring a flask, some tea or something. We will give you more details about what that's going to look like, okay? And, yeah, just some help with the furniture would be fantastic. Thank you very much.